not to be like the world, and not to be like the great majority of American Christians, but to be like Jesus Christ. I don't know why you're clapping. I'm talking about you.
What's wrong with you people? I'm serious.
You can't say amen, you ought to say ouch.
Hello, humblebees. Welcome to Tulips and Honey.
Hi, humblebees. Welcome back to Tulips and Honey. I'm your host, Lauren, and I'm joined today by my super sweet co-host, Becca, who's totally hashtag not professional.
Totally not. Absolutely not. I was just trying to do the intro and I couldn't do it. But we have a special guest on with us today, guys.
Dwayne, we don't even really need to introduce you because everybody already knows the Bar Podcast, the B-A-R Podcast, Biblical and Reformed. Dwayne, thank you so much for coming on our program today.
Listen, ladies, it is definitely my pleasure. I'm super excited to be here. Can't wait to talk to you guys and meet your audience. Feel like I already know him.
I know. We've already been on his podcast. When are those coming out? And I think if I recall, you said you were going to do it like you're thinking about doing something different since we were on separately.
Right. So, I like I told you, I have a good podcast problem where I have way too many shows. So it's definitely going to be the month of March, and it may be like a double feature, 2 in 1 week kind of thing. Have you get Whoa. Together, you know?
Oh, that's nice because our birthdays are both in March.
Oh, see,
that's
there you
so
go.
That's so cool.
That's so yes. cool. Happy birthday to us.
That's
so fun.
My son's birthday in March.
Is it really?
When's his birthday?
Yep. March the 6th.
Oh, me too.
Oh.
Yay. How cool is that?
Even possible? That is so neat. Wow. Yes.
Very neat.
Birthday Twinkies. That's hey, really Twinkies. Exciting.
How did you find us? Because you messaged us and were like, hey, come on the podcast. I love promoting new people. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, so I guess you could say a pirate when it comes to podcasts, especially Christian podcasts. I love scourging around anytime I see the hashtag or people post. And as soon as I find something I like, unlike most people, I don't get jealous or look what they're doing. First thing I want to do is I want to bring you on a show and I want to introduce you to my listeners. So that's how that happened. I can't remember who posted it, but I found it, inbox, and was like, hey, let's get this going, man. I really enjoy what I saw.
That's Aww. Awesome. It was so sweet. I was so encouraged when you had us on. Because I was on his podcast, what was it, last week? And I was telling him that he was the first podcast I heard when I first became Reformed.
So yeah, that was special to find mm-hmm. out. I'm telling you, that really blessed me. More than you know.
Yeah, Aww. Seriously. It was so cool. So to be on his show was like a dream come true.
Wow. Right? Mm-hmm. It's wow. so neat that we get to do this.
Yeah.
And I guess to kind of piggyback on the dream come true, like when I started podcasting, there were certain things that I saw other podcasts doing that I wanted to eventually do. You know, like, you know, I always tell people the Reformed Pubcast was one of the ones that inspired me to start. And when I saw them do like live recordings at Ligonier and have all those folks, all of those things were like dreams that I wanted. And we're here now and we've been doing all of that. So.
That's yeah. so cool.
You have had some really neat guests on your program too. I was listening to Dr. White. You were talking to him yeah. just the other day. I was like, what? How did you even nail him down to one place? He's always somewhere else. It was a miracle.
Well, listen, that was a special one because two years ago, he said, he was like, oh, I know, you know, I heard of you guys, you know. And then a year ago, he said, hey, let's do it. And I sent emails probably every 3 months, sending emails. Oh. And he was like, I'm here, I'm there. And so this year at G3, he walked up to my booth and said, hey, I heard you've been trying to get a hold of me. Oh. And I was like, yes. And he was like, you ready to record? And I was like, please, come on. And so we jumped right there on the spot.
That's so wow. cool.
That is seriously neat.
So you interviewed him at G3?
I did, face to face. Yep, sitting at my booth.
How else did you get to interview at G3?
So I also did Tom Askell, which was the show that came out immediately after. Mm-hmm. So when I'm at G3, I don't necessarily try to set out to do a whole bunch of interviews.
Right.
Really, I'm just there to kind of interact with the folk. But I have my equipment set up so that just in case something happens or I see somebody, or just like with the case with James White, I was ready and in place when somebody was ready.
That's awesome.
That's so cool. What you've had some really neat guests on. So this isn't on here, but before we start with your testimony, can you go through like who was the scariest person? Ooh. Like the one that made you the most Ooh. Nervous?
Yeah, like who's the scariest and who's your favorite?
Oh, that's curious. Great. I like it.
Okay. So it's hard to say scariest because you know, one thing about me is I see everybody the same. I treat everybody the same. I mean, of course I have heroes. But probably, and here, this is going to be funny. And this is your listeners right here. Get this exclusive. One of my, I guess you could say scariest or kind of starstruck at the time podcast actually never made it. I never hit record. Yeah, it was at the time it was R.C. Sproles Jr. And it was like right before all the scandal and everything came out. We had an awesome interview. He talked about his daughter. He talked about missing his wife. He cried. He laughed. It was probably one of the best podcasts ever. And I didn't hit record.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Oh, but, wow. But, we're not the only one.
Yeah, no, you're not. You're not. So that was, I mean, just the lead up. You know, hindsight, everything's a little different, but that you got to think about it. This was when I was just starting out, probably about 10 podcasts in, and I was listening to him every morning on RefNet, you know, when he had that segment. And so I was nervous, and I think the nervousness took over, and that's why I didn't hit record. And then the second one was the most, what was the second one? I'm sorry.
Your most favorite or top five.
Oh, favorite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Favorite.
So, you know, I treat my episodes like my kids. You can't pick a favorite. You know?
I know. I know. Which one had you laughing the most? Oh,
okay. That's a good one. I mean, I laugh a lot anyway. it's probably, man, that's a good question.
Right?
Okay. Probably laughing the most would be, I'm going to say Joe and Jimmy, Doctrine and Devotion guys. Whenever.
Okay. Yep.
We did a live interview actually at their conference in front of the cigar lounge, which was really cool. We were outside with my equipment, and those guys are hilarious because that was their second time on the show. And Joe and Jimmy, they're hilarious. Mm-hmm. And I think my stomach was hurting by the time we finished with the interview. And it's funny because it was so much going on with their banter, people around us, you know, chiming in. And I had to cut a lot of stuff out. It was crazy.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Wish I had a fly on that wall over there.
I know. Right. They totally broke your 30-minute rule then. That's pretty funny. I love
Oh,
that.
Yeah, they did. They did. I had to cut.
I love that. So not because we've had really some great guests, but not everybody is the same. Like the flow of guests isn't always the same. So it's interesting to hear that, like which one was funniest and and to hear like you forgetting to, I know that there are so many, we have a lot of podcasters that listen, and I know they're going to be really encouraged to hear that you forgot to hit play on one.
I did.
We all feel so just dumb whenever we do things. Like I've deleted episodes. At one point I was working on an episode and I had already been editing for at least an hour, and my screen pops up a notification to let me know that I have too much stuff being used. Do I want to delete this? Do I want to delete this library? And before I could read the full thing, I just clicked yes. Mm-hmm. I was in a hurry. I wanted to get back to editing. Well, the library it was deleting was my editing library. It was all gone. Mm-hmm.
And those were good episodes too. We did a Thanksgiving episode, and
Wow,
we'll do it again this year.
Yeah, I was like, why do I have to click so fast?
right Yeah, when I'm editing, I always tell people my favorite button is undo, because sometimes I'll delete by accident while editing. And thank God for that undo button. Like whoever made that undo button, you know, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yes! Hallelujah! That is so funny. It literally is my favor. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's a miracle.
It is. Take that. Oh, I have deleted hours on accident, meaning to delete a little 30-second, and there goes the rest of the interview. And I mean, so many times I delete, and then I don't realize I've deleted, and I click out, and I can't go back to undo, which is what usually happens. But I'm getting better. That's why we're still hashtag not professional, but I haven't deleted an episode in a few weeks, at least.
Yes.
I
mean,
that's something to clap about.
It is. Thank you. Insert cheers right here. Pretend.
Right.
Here we go. Okay, brother, let's get into your testimony. I'm so excited. This is so much fun because we listen to you interview all these people, and I am having so much fun over here. I'm like a little kid in a candy factory, seriously, because
yeah, I was texting her that last night. I was like, it feels like Christmas. I'm so excited to see how this is going to unfold. What you're going to say.
I couldn't sleep. Becca and I were both up at the crack of dawn. Like, she texted me at 5 o'clock this morning. We were still texting last night at midnight. And I was you're up early.
I know. I'm up.
That's funny.
I'm ready. I'm so excited.
I'm up. We're ready to go. Only 5 hours left. Okay. But I know. Seriously, this is so much fun. Can you please walk us through your testimony, brother?
Sure. So, I grew up in a little town called Turkey, North Carolina. Very small, very country. And so while being there, my parents, we were on a farm. So it was, picking tobacco and pepper and all of that stuff. And we had hogs and cows. Well, we didn't have cows. We always said that was the rich man's. that was a rich man to have cows. But we had hogs and chickens. And so grew up in the church. And it was Missionary Baptist. I was a drummer at the church. And so I pretty much was always at church. And that being always at church, to play drums, it turned more into almost like work and not worship. And so my understanding of church was, okay, I go and I get paid because they were paying me. And that created kind of like a facade of, righteousness, because everybody knew that I was a sinner, of course, but in public eye, a good kid. And so growing up, being a drummer, being an athlete, but I knew how to give you that view of a good kid. So everybody thought everything was all good with me, but behind closed doors, I was a womanizer, I was a player, I was on drugs, I would smoke weed, all kind of just, sinful things. But on the surface, Sunday morning, I was on the drums, no matter where I was at, no matter how drunk I got, no matter how tore up I was on Saturday, I always made my way to church. And there was, I guess you could say, a false sense of security because I was at church. I was given that time at church. But God used my pride because during that time I built a lot of pride because, I'm a musician, I'm an athlete, and I'm trying to be a player. And so he used that pride to break me down just pretty much to my knees. I always tell people it was the old school three-way phone call that got me.
I forgot about three-way.
But listen, see, y'all get it, but a lot of young people don't. I was getting interviewed I was getting interviewed at another podcast and the guys were younger and I said three-way. They was like, what? They thought it was something like sexual. I was like, wait a minute. Not what you think.
You're a true 90s kid.
Oh no.
Exactly. 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 So that's why I had to say phone three-way. I had to preference that for our listeners.
Yes.
But so the two ladies called me on three-way. One of them was on the phone, and the other one was in the background. And I'm doing my little thing, and then they just kind of like bust me, like, oh, you this, that. And I'm at my mom's house, and I hang the phone up, I roll over on my knees, and I say, God, I'm destroying my life, I'm doing a terrible job with it. I need you. I can't do this without you. Got up that night, went to Bible study, talked to the pastor, and started my journey. That night, God did save me by his grace. And I wish I could say happily ever after. Unfortunately, when I got back home, and I just realized this last year, the first thing I did when I got back home after Bible study was I turned on TBN. But here's why. And I just figured out why, y'all. This was profound when I figured it out. So I told you, musician, athlete. When you look for the best musicians or athletes, where do you look? You look on TV. You look on stage. So that's why I look for a pastor or a preacher, because I'm thinking, he's the best at what he do. That's why he's on TV, like it's the NBA. Exactly. Yep. And I had no idea. I was like, why did I go? But that's why, because I thought that's where the best talent was at. And so I turned on TBN, started following Joel and Creflo and TD, and I was faithful, you know, thinking that I'm growing in my spiritual life. Right. And I met my wife on MySpace. And throwback, yeah.
We're always like, why can't we go back to MySpace?
I'm telling you, with the background music and all of that. '90s baby, yeah. But so I met my wife on MySpace, and she actually was going to a mega church in South Carolina, and so we got married, really short dating, got married, and I started attending the mega church in South Carolina. And this church was on TBN and all of that. So I jumped right in head first, you know, got in the band. And then I was, you know, on the worship, you know, part of the worship team. I guess you could say staff. Also was teaching middle school boys at this huge church. So I had on Sunday mornings, I would teach probably about 150 boys. Can you imagine a church having 150 middle school boys? That's how huge this church was. I mean, yeah.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Yeah.
Mega.
Huge.
Mega.
Exactly. And so I was doing this. And then I started, I guess, through my wife, we connected with another, here the air quotes. Oh, I'm glad we're on video.
Yes.
Air quotes. Apostle. So I'm used to the podcast. So, you can see my air quotes. We got connected with Apostle. In Dallas, and so we connected with them. Oh, you guys are so gifted, and you know God is calling y'all to the fivefold ministry, and we just got sucked in. And we did. They had like this ministry course where you take this course and they go walk through ministry, and you know that's. And when you finish, you're supposed to define your gifts. And when we finished our definition, defining our gifts, me and my wife were ordained as apostles.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So some are appointed evangelists, some were appointed prophets. Is that kind
exactly.
of like a
fivefold? Exactly. And so we were the apostles of the class.
Was it like a quiz?
Yeah. It was like multiple choice and fill in the blank.
Amazing. I went to fivefold. When was it? In my early 20s.
Yeah. So we were technically ordained as apostles. So the thing is, it never sat right with me. It never did. Like, I never could get, you know, in a place where, like, okay, this is really what God is wanting me to do. People were calling me that. When they called me that, my head would drop. I didn't feel worthy to be called that. And so, you know, that went on. And then I began to just start to see manipulation with the prophets, you know, the fake prophecies, and you know, pay and get a prophet, and then apostles doing the same thing, and so that's what started me kind of like coming out of it, like, man, this don't make no sense, you know, why am I declaring, decreeing nothing happened, you know, why I don't see nobody really get healed, like, what, you know, so I started questioning all these things, and eventually I got to the point where I was like, man, you know what, forget all of it, I'm gonna be a fundamentalist, forget all y'all, like. Give me the old King James Bible and leave me alone.
Yes. Way into the other extreme, huh?
Exactly. I did. And so while I was there, a guy I worked with for the city heard me talking about Calvinism, because I was, you know, trying to study Calvinism. I was going to debate those Calvinists, and I was going to tell them why they were wrong.
Really?
And so he was like, hey, yes. So he said, hey, man, you know, you want to learn about Calvin? I said, yeah, man. Because I was like, yeah, I'm going to get them to teach me, and then I'm going to turn it around on. And so he brought me in his office, and we literally walked through the Westminster Confession line by line. He would read, turn around, ask me if I understood. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yep. And by the end of it, because he was Presbyterian, at the end of it, we agreed. I was like, hey, I think I agree with you. Everything except the baptism part, but with the babies. But other than that, I'm with you. And so after that, he gave me some links, Ligonier, Grace of You, those podcasts. And so that was my journey. Man, not about to be 7 years ago into right now salvation into Reformed theology.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, I have a million questions. Okay.
Yes,
come on with it.
Okay, I want to point this out really quickly, and we just noticed this too when we were interviewing the I'm never going to pronounce their last name right.
Macy.
What is wrong with
is it Macy?
Macy? Macy.
Sorry, guys. Sorry, Emily and Paul.
This is the third episode that I have gotten their name wrong. Okay, Emily and Paul. They were also saved already whenever they were working for Joyce Meyer, and so it was that discernment that made them recognize there's something wrong. Whereas whenever I was in the Word of Faith, and I don't know about you, Becca, but like if somebody had wanted to make me an apostle, I would have been thrilled, and there would have never been any going back. I would have been like,
yeah,
bring probably. On all the glory to me. I loved my own self. I would have been thrilled by that, and I would have wanted to be boasted by all of that. And so I think what's really important to point out is that, like, You see in both these cases, in your case, Dwayne, and also in Paul and Emily's, these baby Christians who are not being discipled, they're not being taught, they're not being fed true scripture. And so it's easier to get them into the Word of Faith movement. But the difference is that you guys, you had that discernment. You felt uncomfortable there. Whereas, like, I would have been like, yep, I'll bring it, all of it.
Bring it all.
Give it all. Where do I got to move? What do I have to do?
Right.
So I think that's really important. I'm thankful you shared that. And I love the fact that you wanted to disprove Calvinism, and so you were wanting to debate that, because
we tell
anybody who asks us how to talk to people in the Word of Faith, like, we always tell them, ask questions. Mm-hmm. Ask them about scripture, and then ask them to help, like, refute it. Help me understand where I'm wrong with this, and people will. They'll go to the scriptures, and they won't be able to refute it with scripture.
Right.
And it helps, like, rather than just be like, you're a heretic.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to tear you down. So that's so encouraging.
I know you had someone sit down with you and go over things, and you could ask.
Yeah, that was special. I actually had him on the show. I did like a month of like people that inspired me, and I was able to reconnect with him and had him on the show. And,
that's
you
so
know,
cool.
Told him like none of this would be here if he hadn't took that time. To walk that through with it.
When did you start the podcast officially?
March 2015.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yep.
So almost 5 years.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. How was your wife when you were coming out of that? Was she on the same page as you?
Of course not.
She's like, we're apostles.
Right. No. I mean, like, so with that, she never really, like, tugged hard on that,
right.
But just the whole Word of Faith, because, you know, you got to think about so many years of it.
Mm-hmm.
And to be transparent, it's still like there's still things we're working through. Because I just my demeanor, I never had a cage stage, because that's just not who I am. I'm a very cool, laid back person, and so even with dealing with my wife and just understanding the doctrines of grace, I'm a find points to talk about it. You know, I'm gonna do this, and it's funny because you know, I was talking about it here and there, and then I think it might have been on accident, but I was listening to a couple of Steve Lawson sermons, and I left it playing on YouTube. And I left it playing. She was home, and I think she called me on my lunch break. She was like, "Babe, I think I agree with the doctrines of grace." I was like, "Oh, what happened?" Like, Steve Lawson, like,
yes,
yeah. So it was the, you know, but like I said, there's still and I think we talked about this, Becca. I think there's still like residue that.
Yes, I was just about to ask you that. Like,
yeah.
Do you still feel like you're detoxing?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh no.
No,
me no, because I was already like done with them. Like,
right.
It was like a hard. So me, I'm hot or cold. I'm on or off. If I'm on something,
right.
I'm 110. If I'm off, I'm 110 off. I'm never. Right. That's just my personality. I mean, with anything. I mean, and it's scary though, because like when I like, I'm just scared that one day I'm gonna be off with podcasts. Because it
no.
can happen.
Never. No.
Like I'm
don't
just
do
saying,
it
can happen, because I'm just that, I'm that polarizing when it comes to my mindset.
Yeah. You need to start training somebody then.
Right? I know you have a whole network. You know, like,
yeah, I think we're fine.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm over here in panic mode. Okay, how can we fix this?
Right, no, we're fine.
Clearly the
we're
doctors fine. Can give you something that will...
Yeah, we were like trying to convince Justin Peters. You're like, you have to be on a podcast. Like, you have to start it there's a need. There's mm-hmm. only so much Clouds Without Waters I can watch.
Yes,
I told him the same thing.
Did you? Oh, good. I know. I'm still waiting on his podcast to get started. Said it was coming.
Do you know anything?
Well, the last thing he told me was when his website is finished, then he'll be ready. So,
okay, so I have a million more questions. I'm so sorry.
Come on, with it. I'm good. Take your time. I'm good.
I promise I'll get back to the outline. But before I do, you mentioned at the beginning of your testimony, you talked about how you were working as the drummer, and you felt like instead of it being about praise, that it was about work. And so how, if somebody is listening to this and they are in the music ministry in their church, how can they make sure that their members of their band or choir or whatever it is that they use don't end up feeling that way? What kind of steps do you recommend churches take to ensure that their members also feel like they're praising and not working?
So honestly, it really boils down to their salvation. You know, if they are regenerated by God, when your whole mindset changes when you're a musician and you're saved, because no longer are you, you know, just trying to make music, but you're using your instrument to give God glory. And that's where the mindset changes. Now, you know, being a musician, you run into, because I was one of those guys that people that weren't saved, that just had a talent or a gift. And for them, there's nothing a church can do to change their mindset. It's going to be God changing their heart and then them understanding that their gift and talent is to glorify God and to worship God during that time.
Wow. And how serious is that, brother? Like, if somebody's listening there... I put it
on high priority. I mean, honestly, I mean, of course you risk some talent, but God, you know, God has so many people that can do it. And I'm actually dealing with a church now that's they started in the living room and now they have a building and now they're like looking for a worship leader. And I'm like, yo, just play tracks, man. God is saying whoever you need, you know, don't worry about, you know, seeking out and hiring a worship leader. You know, God is saying who needs to be in there. They'll come in there. They'll be ready. Just play tracks, man. Just hit that play button and everybody sing along, you know. So I think it's important. Yeah, I think that you don't want to risk, because what happened in those circles, especially when I was at the mega church, you get people in that don't have a mind of Christ. They have a mind of business. And so they're not willing to sacrifice for, you know, the ministry. They're looking for a check, and just a different mindset. Like you're when you're playing something, your emotions come through your playing. And so if you don't have the mind of Christ, it's going to show.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's I'm really thankful that you mentioned that, because I think that there's a lot of churches out there that have like half a team and they mm-hmm. feel a little nervous about maybe they don't have the whole thing. So, do you still play for the church now, or
no? I'm retired. I hung my drumsticks up. I stopped playing when I left the mega church, because when I first left, I went to a church that didn't have drums, you know, right. And so that was actually good for me to, you know, transition into a lay person, actually just sit down and hear the word, because you know, in the Baptist church, us drummers, we play, and then when the preacher get up, we go in the back and sit around and drink water, and then when he get ready to tune up, then we come back in and start back playing. So it was good to retire my sticks. I'm good. I don't play anymore.
How do you feel about like a lot of churches that do have drums?
I'm not a regulative principle guy, but I witnessed the like lights and pyros, literally pyros and lasers and all of that. So I've seen all of that. I actually enjoy less just because I was a part of the other stuff.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Yeah, we like the hymns, because we heard all of that. We never got to hear hymns. But exactly. Really quickly, just for our listeners, if you don't know what that term means, regulative and normative and regulative principles. Yes, that's the difference between whether or not you would have music. And I'm sure there's more to it. But For example, Charles Spurgeon did not believe you should have musical instruments. Susie, his wife, did believe you should have musical instruments. And so she actually donated instruments. Yes, yeah. And I love that because they were such a cute couple. But okay, yes, this is the last question I have about this, and I promise we can move on. But this is just really, really fascinating.
Sure.
And so I'm wondering, how did you feel whenever you went from, like, Baptist stuff to straight up fivefold ministry? Because that's black and white difference. That's like night and day. There's major
so
difference
here,
there.
Here's the logic to that. Because, you know, Baptist, we were missionary Baptist, but the pastor I grew up under, he had a lot of holiness influence. So we had drums, like I said, and they did shout, and, you know, they didn't speak in tongues or anything, but they believed in shouting and running around the church. So the transition from that to charismatic wasn't that big of a leap. But you got to think about it. Me being a new believer, thinking, you know, I want all the things of God, and I'm saying, they're talking about miracle signs. Oh, I need, this is another level. Let me leave from this level and go to another level. So that's what it was for me, was going up in level. And I'm actually coming home. You guys, y'all need to start speaking in tongues, and y'all need to, you know, thinking I'm trying to help them, you know, but it's pretty much just thinking that was the next step in my spiritual growth.
I like what you said earlier too, you went to TV to get the best person. And I'm like, that's exactly. And you think you're getting good meat. You're getting good.
Thank you. Are.
Yeah, it's good logic that you would think that. So yeah, it's sad that TVN's out there.
No,
it is.
Yes, it is. It's very sad. Okay, speaking of TVN, though, after TVN was shut off, what were the sermons that were actually helpful when we were coming out of the Word of Faith movement? What would you recommend somebody that's trying to get out of that would
watch? What was helpful for you right when you made a right turn off? Off that mainstream.
So, I mean, the real answer, because you got to think about it, when I left the Word of Faith, it was a hard turn. And so it actually, unfortunately, was Mike Hoggart, which is a very well-known fundamentalist, that was just pretty much, his whole sermon was down talking, T.D. Jakes and Joel. So that sermon is actually what started the transition. But in getting into biblical doctrine and sound theology, I think probably one of the sermons that was major for me was Vody Bachum talking about, the doctrines of grace. I can't remember. I think it might've been in Romans. But that was one of the sermons that kind of took me over the edge, I'll say.
Oh, that's great. Oh my goodness. Vody Bachum is like one of my top three.
Yes.
Top three. Absolutely. And my husband as well. He's a picky, picky person. He does not just listen to any preacher. It's got to be, they've got to have the right style. They have to be kind of funny. Their humor can't be goofy humor. It's got to be like dry humor. Vody Bachum all day. He could listen to Vody Bachum like from morning to evening. It's really funny that he like latches on. Because I sort of stumbled into Reformed theology before he did. And I was, I'm a lot like you, brother, where like when I latch onto one thing, I'm like, this is everything. This is all in, all or nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I was like all in before getting saved. I was all into politics. I was sold out to like the Republican Party. That was my idol. And then I was all into like prepping because the end of the world is coming and we need.
Right, right. I still have a bug out bag, by the way.
You're in the South. That's smart. There's tornadoes and that's okay. It's, you know, everybody should need it. Back. Yeah, I have that. But I had like, 50 pounds of sugar and all that. There was
8 pounds of sugar.
When I came into talking to him about Reformed theology, I was just as excited about that as I was about everything else. And so at first I think he was kind of like, okay, well, you'll get tired of this, it'll get boring and you'll move on to the next thing. But he started listening to some things. Yeah.
Yes.
And then he started comparing it to scripture and he was like,
That was the same thing with my wife. Because I'm that way, I'm 110 miles an hour, she wanted to make sure, like, okay, like,
it's for real.
is this going to stick? Like, is or is something else going to be going on, you know, in 6 months?
That's the thing I say that I feel we've had emails, so not all of my family agree. My husband's side of the family doesn't agree with that. And so with Reformed theology, they said, oh, it's just a phase you guys are going through. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, this is the truth. Truth. You can't handle the truth.
Truth.
Right?
We're too old for phases now, right?
I know. I'm like, who says that? Well, you know, what would you say back to that?
Right.
Really nothing, I guess. But I just kept on like praying about it. And eventually he caught on to that too. But I did right directly after getting saved, fall straight into like hardcore legalism. And so I understand what you're saying, brother, about like how you thought this is the next step. So to me, the next step coming out of Word of Faith, because that was already where I was at, the next step to me was to go from basically antinomianism into straight up hardcore, like, I'm going to follow the Sabbath, I'm going to follow the feast. I thought I needed to do all of those things. And so I was quickly brought right into that. And then, of course, thank God somebody sent me Justin Peters and the Strange Fire stuff. So I was able to get out of it. But my husband was super patient with me and really, really calm. And he tries not to like laugh or make fun of me. I'm sure it's not always easy, but he does a really great job. Oh, so, okay.
He's so sweet.
I know. He's a good husband. I think that's all of my random little questions for
that. Okay. You want to go to number 4?
Yeah, we can totally go on to number 4.
Yeah, I'm curious to know. we've hardly been on the outline, really.
Okay. But that's because I'm here.
He does not have the outline, and he was like, nope, don't need it.
I have written in extra questions all over mine.
I love it.
I'm so sorry.
I'm thinking of no worries. We're here. I'm curious about the Bar Network. Like, so we know you started in 2015, but now you're a network and now you have other podcasts under you. So when did that start?
So the thing about the Bar Network, it was always, let me back up. It wasn't always in my vision. Originally the bar supposed to have been my whole team, Virgil, Terrence Barlow, Christy, Jonathan, all of these people worked together on a Facebook page called Be Not Deceived that I created in 2009 or 8. No, had to be 2010. So Be Not Deceived is a Facebook page I created. And so I assembled these people that were all in different locations to help me post on this page. That page is kind of like a discernment page. It started out real spooky, you know, conspiracy theory and, you know, all of that. And then it evolved into now, you know, just exposing false teachers and things like that. So that was my team already. And then I, you know, when it came to the podcast, I wanted to do like a podcast, kind of like a round table, a digital round table with them every week.
That's cool.
And so we did, you know, I pitched it to them. They loved the idea. But you guys know, anytime you're trying to assemble more than two people together at one time, you know, schedules and family and this. And I was like, ugh, like, you know, I really want to do this podcast. And I got some really encouraging words from Todd Friel one night. I know that's kind of random. I would give you the backstory, but I don't want to respect the time. But Todd Friel pretty much said, you know, you really need to do this podcast. And so that inspired me to start the podcast. Just me. You know, I was like, well, I just interview people every week. And so once I got the platform going, I'll say probably right at the beginning of 2016 is when I'm like, okay, guys, I'm going to build this platform. And everybody that I was going to have in the round table, you guys can start your own podcast. I can show you how to do it and we'll become, you know, a network. And that's where the idea started, was for my team. But as you see, it's way further than that now.
Yeah, absolutely it is. How many podcast teams do you have?
Whew, I knew you would ask me that. All right, let me get my fingers out. So
yes, give them all shout outs too, if you want to, like, because we're going to ask you also like a little bit about like each one of them. So if you want, while you're listening, maybe you can like tell us what each one of them is.
Sure, perfect. I can do that. All right, so we'll start with the very first one that got on my team, Terrence Barlow. He's actually a hip hop artist, so he calls his show Bars, B-A-R-S, Biblical and Reformed Spitters, you know, spit like spitting rhymes.
Oh, nice. So
And this is Terrence Barlow's show. It originally, season one was him interviewing rappers, kind of like my style, but just interviewing artists. Season two is more or less him just kind of analyzing the Christian hip hop culture. And so that's Biblical Reform Spitters. The next one on the list is Just Thinking, the Just Thinking podcast, which is Daryl and Virgil, probably the fastest growing podcast in the Christian community for sure. And I can say that confidently because last week, our racial reconciliation show as of today hit 10,000 downloads in wow. less than a week.
Whoa. So,
Just Thinking podcast, Daryl and Virgil, two brothers that don't live nowhere near each other, kind of like you guys, yeah. That have interesting conversations about social justice, current events, world events. So that's number two. Number three is Kaleoscope. This is Miss Ariel Bavitt and Miss Keisha. I forgot Keisha's last name, but these are two sisters that talk about kind of like the women's version of Just Thinking. They talk about cultural events, but from a woman's perspective. And then at the Kaleoscope, we have Pastor's Discussion with my brother John Hawkins, and Pastor him and one of his associate pastors do kind of like a discussion on anything, so random topics, anything dealing with pastoral life. Then after Pastor's Discussion, we have Truth and Fire, the podcast. A lot of people know her handle, but don't know her real name. It's French Velitefu, which means truth and fire. Something. Yeah, that's the same.
Is she French?
No, she's black.
I know, I love her on social media, but I didn't know she had a podcast. That's really cool.
Yes, yeah, Truth and Fire, the podcast. It's named after her blog. She does, you know, she pretty much kind of makes her podcast an extension of her blog. She blogs about a lot of topics. I mean, some controversial, some not. So Truth and Fire, the podcast, is part of the network. Then we have Guys with Bibles, which you guys are aware of. Mr. Scott Lee and Sean, my brothers, dear brothers, Guys with Bibles, they do, you know, kind of like a discussion style biblical exposition, which I really enjoy. And then we also have added Solacast, which is my two Hispanic brothers, Chris and Jimmy. And they bring, you know, the Latino, I guess, perspective on, you know, biblical issues. Chris is a pastor and Jimmy actually is one of his members. And the latest addition is, I love saying this because it's almost a tongue tie, That Deity Though, That Deity Though, T-H-O.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm country, so my words already run together, and so when I try to say it, it just get all mixed up. But that's my brother EC Holmes. EC is he's also a hip hop artist, but he's also a great apologist, and so he does a YouTube. He has a YouTube. He does a YouTube video, which is also a podcast. I think he's two episodes in. His second episode was a discussion between him and a Jehovah's Witness at the door. He recorded the conversation. He's going to break down how he engaged, you know, what scripture references and things like that. Very, very entertaining. So, and that, my friend, is the Bar Podcast Network. And it might be one more coming, but it's not ready for public announcement yet.
How often do people post? And do you guys share in posting? Or how does that work for you guys?
What do you mean, like social media?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you can find all of them on the bar.network. I mean, every time someone in the networks has a show, that their post goes on our Instagram. I think, you know, the Bar is every Tuesday. Just Thinking, supposed to be every other week, but those guys are so busy, it's hard to get them nailed down. Let me start from the beginning of the week. Let me start over. So, okay. Guys with Bibles every Sunday. Pastor Discussion every Monday, the Bar every Tuesday, as well as Solacast every Tuesday. Wednesday supposed to be Just Thinking, but it's whenever they Feel the unction. Thursday is Biblical Reform Spitters. And then right now, Friday is Truth and Fire, the podcast. Kaleoscope is not on a set schedule right now because Ariel is still doing some I don't know if it's not seminary, but she's doing some kind of right. biblical counseling school. So they kind of took a little break, but that's pretty much the layout.
Wow. Is there a point where you're going to stop or are you just going to keep adding?
No idea. No idea.
Right now you're 100% in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm running. Yeah, I have no idea. I didn't expect it to be this big. I didn't expect to run into people that I like that I wanted to make a part of the team. You know, I did not anticipate. I mean, I added three podcasts in 2020, you know.
Yeah.
And it was one. I mean, the first outsider was Pastor's Discussion. You know, the people that had the podcast in place, and you know, I had no idea who they were before then. So I have no idea. Like I said, and the one that I'm thinking about adding now, I mean, even that one is just like, you know, should I stop? Should I not? You know, cause I honestly wanted to say stop after, you know, SolaCast, and then I was like, well, I can't leave, you know, and then I have no idea.
That's really fascinating. Oh, man. This is really neat. I think this is so, so exciting to talk to you about because this is like the inside of something that looks like, and this is how we are. Like, it might look really, really organized and planned out on the outside, but like on the inside, we're really just like human beings trying, because this is the Wild West. Like podcasting isn't like anything else where you have your channels and, you know, you've got television channels do this, this, and this. The podcasting is we get to do what we want. And
I love it.
I know she texts me. She'll be like, we do what we want.
Becca will be like, can we maybe not record this or that? Or something is happening here. And I'm like, we do what we want.
We do what we want.
Yeah. And it's funny, Lauren, you sound just like me. I say that I've been saying the exact same thing about podcasting. And that's my exact same verbiage. I mean, you do what you want to do. There's nobody, there's no ABC, CBS. Right. There's nobody governing or dictating what we do. And that's why I love it.
For now, it's such a blessing because we think we can bring this gospel all day long to people and there's no restrictions. We're not getting hit with any kind of hate speech. And now, of course, Becca and I are on YouTube, so we have to be a little bit more careful about some things. But as far as the podcast goes, there's nothing restricting anything. So it's such a blessing to have like just availability straight through everything. What about a bar conference?
Yeah.
Well, that has not come up anywhere. Me and my wife did conferences when we were in the the Word of Faith NAR world. So I know that world. I know the expense and the time, so I won't jump in it blindly.
Right.
Because I know what it's about. Like I've seen guys jump into it blindly because they're excited and they got this, and I was like, you don't want to do that, you know? Because we finish conferences in the red where we have to send speakers home and say, hey, we got to send you a check. You know, we finished conferences breaking even. We finished conferences where we celebrated with a pizza, and that's how much money.
Right? I know. I wonder if there's like a reformed podcast thing that people could come together and do meetups, and maybe not so much a conference.
Oh, that would be so cool!
Right?
Sounds like something y'all need to put together.
I know.
Why do you think we brought you onto this program?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's not a bad idea. I mean, you know, I jokingly said I hadn't thought of it. I've entertained it just for the sake of the fellowship. And like I said, I like the meetup idea. The biggest thing, you know, with just organizing that kind of thing is getting people attention and then keeping their attention. Because there's sometimes a gap there. And I learned that doing our own conferences, you have to maintain their attention all the way up until the day of to get a good turnout.
Right. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Or else people will forget and they'll go do other things. I forget what I'm going to be doing at any given day up until the moment. Becca has to remind me what we're going to be doing that day.
Yeah, right.
There's another podcast that you're doing. where you're giving podcast advice.
Oh, yes. I listened to that one. Yeah.
The sidebar.
Be careful. Be careful listening to the sidebar. It's very random.
That's okay. I don't mind the randomness.
But it was good, though. The advice you had was really good.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. If you go at them old episodes, be careful. Because what I did is Anchor is a new, you know, it's a new, I guess, platform. And so I wanted to test it out. And the best way to test it out is to create a podcast. And I was actually getting up every morning at 3 a.m. to go to the gym. And when I get back from the gym, I got in front of the microphone, no notes, no nothing. And I would just start talking and yawning and just whatever came up. And I did it. I actually was doing it every day. Like I was literally doing it Monday through Friday. And then my work situation changed. So routine changed. And I was like, man, what direction should I go now? And so we got it where we drop every Friday. And I'm actually working towards creating a, I guess you could say, a coaching series for podcasts, like actually become a podcast coach. You know, and it would be, you know, paid service, of course. Now,
Yes. Yeah, I know you were talking about how you don't use Patreon, but there's other aspects. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. But that's something I'm working towards. And so I'm using the sidebar to be my free content that I'm going to give freely to whoever, whenever. But if you want more, if you want coaching, if you want more details, then, you know, sign up. That's where we're going with it eventually.
Oh, I love that. I am so excited about that because there are like secular coaches, right?
Oh, for sure.
I wouldn't want their advice. I could listen to some of their stuff, but like a lot of the questions that I would have would be like, they would need to be based on scripture. Otherwise the advice might not be helpful. So I'm really excited about that, brother. Keep us posted on that. We'll make sure to share that. We have a lot of podcasters within our circles. Besides the ones that are in our own network, there's a lot of the people that we talk to on a daily basis are other podcasters. So that's really exciting. Do you have any advice for somebody who's starting out?
So I guess my number one advice is to do it. Don't overplan, don't overthink, don't count your pennies. Listen to my show on, I don't know when this show come out, but listen to Sidebar. I'm gonna tell you how to start a podcast with no money. Don't think about that stuff. Just do it, man. Just step out and do it. Stop, you know, hesitating and stop, worrying. Grab your phone, download whatever respective app and just start podcasting because someone needs to hear your voice. And your voice is important and your voice is unique and is yours. So, that's my encouragement for anybody thinking about starting.
Yes. I love that. Are you thinking about doing YouTube?
I am.
Yeah.
It's all about computer space, man.
I know. Yep.
It's that's all so about true. That. Like that is the defining factor for me. I'm definitely, you guys have definitely inspired me to take a second look at it. And the sidebar may turn into YouTube videos. The bar, not so much, just because of the sheer volume, you know, that I do, you know, every Tuesday. Like I just don't know where I would find space on my computer. It's struggling now editing my shows and Just Thinking shows and a couple of other podcasts that I do. You know, on the side. So that's the only thing keeping me from video, y'all, for real.
Yes. Space is my number one enemy. Every episode that I'm loading is anywhere between 3 to 5 gigabytes per episode. And so I have like external hard drives, little chips. I have them everywhere. I have Google Drives filled up to the top. I mean, it is insane. Yeah,
aren't you using Space on Zoom now? Did you have to upgrade?
Yeah, Zoom. I have Zoom.
The cloud.
Space. Yeah, they wanted $40 though to upgrade, so I'm just using the space that they give us. So. That's $40 a month extra for there. Yeah, nope. I just ordered a $20 external hard drive. It's gonna be fine.
It's gonna be fine.
Everything's fine. I'm fine. Okay, so that's really good advice. I appreciate that. If that is already out before this episode airs, then I'll make sure to link that below. Check out that sidebar. I'm super pumped about that.
You
already have like a huge fan right here, number one fan at the sidebar right here. Mm-hmm. But that is contingent on something. The answer to this question decides whether or not I can ever again listen to the sidebar.
Oh, snap.
It's a lot of pressure here.
I know.
This is the most important question we have. We always ask this because I don't know if you knew this, brother, but the genuine church body is divided. It's divided. This is causing disunity. So hopefully you can help us to solve this issue. Do you put pineapple on pizza?
Ooh. Ooh. That's a trick question, though. You know why?
You're either Team Becca or you're Team Lauren on this one.
It's a lose-lose.
It's a trick question because I don't make pizza. So I don't technically put any toppings on my pizza. But I will say this. I've eaten pizza with pineapples and without it. Ha!
So he's not giving us an answer. You're the first guest to do that.
You can't be a politician on us now, do you?
Well, listen, do you put it? That was not your question. That was not your question.
It's true,
You said, do you put pineapples on your pizza? I do not put pineapples on my pizza.
Goodness.
But I've eaten pineapples on pizza,
smart.
And I have not.
He was. That's really smart. That's
found your way around this. I'm going to allow this rule breaking here, but only because you've been so patient with all of our questions.
But we did decide to do the three same questions that you do for your podcast to you.
Yeah,
you're on the spot.
Before we get started with that, listeners, just so you know, click the card up above right now if you want to vote hashtag Team Lauren. If you want to pick the losing side, then you'll pick hashtag Team Becca. But that is in the poll card up above.
And so far, Team Lauren has been slacking lately.
I know. All right. I need is Justin Peters on my side, and I'm good to go. So
I got Ray Comfort.
You do.
Oh snap! Y'all got Ray Comfort.
Battle. Ray told me to repent. Yeah, he told me to repent.
Oh, wow.
It was really hard.
Because he likes pineapple.
Oh, okay.
But we do want to ask you the three questions that we have for you. The three questions that you ask everybody else, it's only fair that you have to answer them yourself. What music are you listening to currently?
So these aren't the hymns or spiritual answers that most people are looking for. I am a 90s hip-hop R&B baby.
Yes!
Yeah, I know. I fit in here. And so that's always on my playlist, anything from that era. Right. I'll say 90s all the way up until right at 2000.
Yeah.
Is where I cut off. But and then that's pretty much it. I don't really do, you know, any classical. Now I will play. I did enjoy, some people are not going to like this, but I did enjoy Kanye's new album. Yeah. And the one that his choir came out with. So those are the two probably modern albums that I like, but other than that is 90s.
R&B. 90s. Yes. I know I messaged him last night. I was like, "What songs do you like?" Or the night before, maybe.
Night before, Monday.
Yes. And nice. I was like, "He's my brother right here." He totally gets
the 90s. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, yeah. What about books? What books are you reading?
So, I am still, where is it? Oh, it's over there. There's a book that I got from Grace to You from whenever I went to the Truth Matters conference by Dr. MacArthur. I think it's called The Word of Truth, where it's pretty much him and other well-known authors just talking about scripture and the validity of scripture. Just kind of like a compiled book of everybody writing on those things or whatever.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they gave it to us at Grace. Let me grab it real quick.
Grab it. We're not going anywhere.
Yay.
Go for it.
It's actually called One Foundation. But it's
One
talking
Foundation. Just,
yeah, One Foundation. And I think I'm about halfway through. It has writings from R.C. Sproul, Vody, Jack MacArthur, John MacArthur, Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones, Steve, just different writings or whatever. So
that's boom, really boom. Cool. How neat.
Me and our last question.
Yes.
What podcast or sermons are you listening to right now?
Well, being a podcaster myself, I don't get to listen to a lot, but always shout out my big three. And these are the three that I try to get in every day, which is Renewing Your Mind, Grace to You, True for Life, which is, yeah, Ligonier, you know, Gracie, of course, and then Truth for Life, Alistair Begg. Alistair Begg.
Alistair Begg. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew Truth for Life sounded familiar. I love his accent.
I know Alistair Begg's.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are my top three that I try to get in every morning. So
I'll
give them a shout out.
Do you listen to him fast speed?
Who?
I don't. Anybody, like in general.
Oh, no. I can't get down with you people that do that. No, thanks.
Yeah, no.
Been said, so I don't know how you can stand that. I have a hard time listening to people just regular now. I'm like,
I bet. Because you messed your head up. You messed your mind up listening to it fast.
I've got it rolling through my head so quickly now that whenever I hear somebody talk at a regular pace, I'm like, oh, it's all day.
I'm sorry, you didn't tell me that earlier. I could have talked to a friend when I spoke to you.
Yes! Oh, man. Let's go do it again.
Yes, we'll start over from
there. We forgot to record. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
No, you're good. We did. We remembered. It's telling me in the little corner that we're recording. You're good. Okay.
I know. I see the mic, too. I was just teasing.
I just teasing.
I think he was going to go with it.
How much time did you say you had?
Hashtag podcast life.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Okay. That's all we have, though, today, brother. We just want to thank you again so much. Thank you for your hard work in podcasting. Yeah. I am so sorry about the sound that you're hearing right now, but my producer is trying to get comfortable under my desk by scratching into the carpet. Clementine.
It's our producer. The dog.
I saw her go by in the background. It was pretty cool.
I missed that.
That's our producer, yeah.
Yeah, do you want to share with our listeners about how they can find you in your podcast?
Yes.
All right. So to find me... I'm at Dwayne21, Instagram, Twitter. Don't look me up on Facebook. You don't know me. Don't send me a Facebook request. I'm just kidding. But everything with the Bar Podcast Network, the best place to go is thebarpodcast.com. And click on the network tab, and you can see all of the Bar Podcast Network shows there. And you also can see the regular Bar Podcast shows. As far as social media with the Bar Podcast, you want to go to on Instagram, Twitter, the Bar_network. And on Facebook, we're still thebarpodcast.com. And yeah, that's it.
Right. Thank you, brother. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and I hope that your little one has a good doctor's appointment. We are so thankful for your time.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, this was a blast, and I just want to shout you guys out, man. I really appreciate what you're doing. I love it. Love the energy. I feel like, you know, we just connected from the start, man, and I definitely want to big up you guys and let you guys know that you have the Bar Podcast Network support all the way.
Oh, my goodness. That is so incredibly encouraging.
And ditto. Ditto from the Tulips and Honey Hub.
It means a lot less coming from us because we're so tiny, but you have us 14.
Oh, my gosh.
All dozen of us. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you, brother.
You too.
You have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Bye. Y'all have a good one.
You too.
Okay. Humblebees, that was Dwayne from the Bar Podcast on our podcast. What?
I know. What? What the butt?
Mind blown. I'm really so cool. Thrilled to have him on. He has been such an encouragement to us. If you guys could just be praying for him and for his whole team. They have wonderful episodes, but they do have, like, some of them are controversial truths that they're telling. I'm sure that they're having to deal with the hate mail that we forward to our dog. So I just keep praying for them and support them. Be connected with them on social media if you can. And definitely thank you. Thank you, The Bar Podcast. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you to everybody over there. You guys are so great. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So encouraged today. Thank you so much for coming on.
I'm extremely encouraged. I'm super encouraged. Okay.
Super encouraged.
Well, that's it then, Humblebees. Don't forget to follow us at all of our social medias and find us in the Tulips and Honey Hub group on Facebook. Make sure you connect there. Don't forget to check out our other podcasts. We have the Aquila and Priscilla Hour every other Tuesday. We have the Chuck and Lo Show every Friday, and our new one that is starting this month, so it's already started by the time this is gone, is Always Only, and that is Emma. She's going to be dropping episodes every Saturday. So don't forget to check out our other shows. Don't forget that we are going down to just Mondays. It won't be Monday and Thursdays anymore.
Oh, yeah. Is that next week?
But yeah, it is. So wow. By the time this drops, we will only be doing once a week. Wow. But we're still on YouTube 3 days a week, most of the time, probably.
Right.
Hopefully. Yeah. That's the plan. So there you go. All right. Bye, Humblebees. Love you guys.
Bye, Humblebees.
Thanks for listening, Humblebees. This is Tulips and Honey. Over and out.
I think that diamond still needs a little more polish.
Yeah.
For sure. I gotta make the bloopers, man. I gotta make the bloopers. Let's try this. There we go. Okay.
Yay.
Okay.
Now you're in California.
I
like
it. No, I don't want to be here. Hold on.
Pod, what is it? At the bar or bar? I have it. It like deleted that section.
Blooper.
I know.
But just take one.
Yay.
Action. Okay. Regulative and shucks. Of course, as soon as I start talking, the other word left my brain. Regulative and it's regulative and white.
Normative.
Thank you, brother. Yes.
You want me to do the last one?
Yes, I do. I was just fixing asking if you
want. Okay, cool. I should make. Right, I should do like some sign language.
I know.
Do
right?
it.
You
the
should
perks
do that.
Of podcasting.
I know. I love it. Like, how can we get Apple to partner with us? Like,
I know.
I'm telling you. Let me know that connect. I'll be right? on that call with you.
Yes.
What's his name?
Al Mohler?
No. Golly, I can't think of his name, but
I have a pimple.
I know. I feel like I have one. Is that one right there?
Like you can't see it hardly at all. Okay. I've been trying to hide it.
Cool.
Okay, I'm gonna close out and then pause this.